So very glad that you're back with us this evening, and very, very happy to be with you as we're continuing in our study from Ephesians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, or if there's one handy, go ahead and be turning to Ephesians chapter 3. And in case you weren't here this morning, or if you were and you just wasn't listening, we're talking about what it means for Jesus to be at home in your heart. And that statement comes from this passage in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul actually uses those very words because they're vital. They're vital. And I meant to point this out this morning, that the foundation I got from my English teachers in junior high school, I thought I would never apply, wrong. I thank the Lord every day because as I get older, they continue to help me, even in my Bible study. That being said, there's a very important word in Ephesians 3 and verse 17. It's the word therefore. And the word therefore means here comes a conclusion. Here comes a conclusion based on what I have been talking about. What have you been talking about, Paul? Well, he's been talking about unity in the Spirit. One of my favorite verses in Ephesians 3 is verse 12, where he says, "For the equipping of the saints," now that's all of us, "for the work of service," New American Standard says, I think King James says ministry. Guess what? You're all in the ministry. You can park in the preacher, in the minister's parking lot at the hospital, all right? Because you're all in the ministry. But look at how he puts it. "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ." Now, dear folk, everybody in this room needs to ask and answer this question. What am I doing to build up the body of Christ at this place? What am I doing to build up the body of Christ here? The other side of that coin is, what am I doing to hinder that? Well, one of the ways that the work of the church is hindered is because we leave the work at the church. And that's why this morning and this evening we're talking about Jesus being at home in the heart. And that's why Paul's words in verse 17 are so very important, or verse 14 rather. He talks about bowing the knees for whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Look again, there's that concept of family. It's so vital. And it's even vital in verse 17. What is there in verse 17 that has anything to do with family? Well, it's that word dwell. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." The word dwell there means to set up a household, to establish where your permanent residence is, to establish residency. And so that's why we talked this morning about how we could make Jesus feel at home in our house, how he can be at home in our heart. And we pointed out that if Christ is going to be at home in our heart, then he has to feel accepted and wanted. And that's where I want to pick up tonight. He has to feel, for lack of a better term, welcomed and relaxed and wanted. More than being welcomed, and I know we've all done this based on our upbringing, we would have guests and invariably somebody would either say to us or we would say to them, "Make yourself at home." Make yourself. What did you mean when you told somebody that? What do you think they meant when they said to you, "Make yourself at home"? Well, how about the concept of, "I want you to feel completely at ease"? Make yourself at home. Let me ask you a question. Would Jesus feel at ease completely
in your home? Does Jesus feel at ease at your house? You ever been to a home where you felt very uncomfortable? I can tell you horror stories about working in law enforcement, and I can remember one specifically having to accompany DHR to a home. And good taste tonight prohibits me from going into great detail as to the filth that was in that home and the lack of sanitation. It was horrible what was going on in that home just from it being unsanitary. Well, are there things in your home and in mine that would make you feel awkward or embarrassed? Maybe some of the people that hang out at your house. You think that's what Paul had in mind in 1 Corinthians 15:33 when he said that evil companions corrupt good money? Yeah, evil. That's why in my work in juvenile court, I've said repeatedly, we put a no contact list on the probation order of kids that you are not allowed to hang out with. You can't call them. You can't text message them. You can't email them. You can't Facebook them. No contact means no contact. Why? Because of the influence there. Well, would it embarrass you to go to somebody's house and then one of their friends show up and it be embarrassing because of the type of people they're hanging out with? That maybe there was a dishonest transaction going on there. Maybe even a dishonest occupation, for lack of a better term. And if not that, what if you had a guest, or what if Jesus came to your home and there were other guests in the home that used foul language or took the Lord's name in vain or engaged, well, in things that we kind of back off and say, well, it's not taking the Lord's name in vain. What about the gossip? What about the criticism of other people? Would that make you uncomfortable? Would anything going on in your home make Jesus uncomfortable? I say again, I've had to go in homes and law enforcement, and you couldn't walk around because of the cigarette smoke. You couldn't see because of the smoke in the house. And I went in one house, and one old boy, he was dipping, and he didn't bother to spit in the corner. He just walked over and spit in the corner. I'm not making this up. Well, you want the Lord in a house like that, where it's Miller time all the time? And I say again, I have been in homes where we literally had to step over or step on the beer cans because they were scattered. The whole floor was littered with beer cans. And I'm not trying to exaggerate just for the sake of making a point, but would you feel comfortable yourself in a home like that? Then what makes us think Jesus would? What makes us think Jesus would feel at home? Some of us get this picture that Jesus is looking over our shoulder, waiting for us to make a mistake so that no, sir, folks, it's the opposite. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He didn't say that and mean that as a threat. He meant that as a comfort, that he walks with us. And so in order for Jesus to be made to feel at home in our home, maybe there's some things that we need to get out of there. Now, let's take it up a notch. That not only should, if Jesus were to visit our house, should we be able to say, "Make yourself at home." He should be made to feel a part of the family. See, not just treat him as a visitor. Not just treat him as a server. Our new brother, you visit in people's homes from time to time, don't you, in your occupation, because he's an exterminator. I am too, just in a different kind of way. But it's one thing to go in that house based on your occupation. It's another thing entirely to be made to feel at home. You see, visitors come and go. A resident is permanent. The law uses the word your domicile. And a servant's there for one purpose. A visitor may be there for one purpose, to do a job. But it's not the servant's job, it's not the visitor's job to encourage and to strengthen. But it is that of those who live there. That's our job, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. You see, I'm aware of the fact that we kind of, as a family sometimes, put on our best behavior for a few days. And the guests leave. But you can't do that with a permanent residence. A permanent resident, rather. And that's what Jesus is. And so sadly, sometimes we just want to kind of treat him like we want to when we choose to, sparingly. And we do his Father the same way. We do the Spirit the same way in our prayer life. We only seem to want to rely on prayer and the help that God gives us and the comfort of the Spirit through prayer. We only seem to want to do that during the tough times, during the tragic times. We only use him sparingly. Let me tell you something, folks. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is permanent. Just like your family name is permanent. You can't change it. Oh, you can go through the legal process. I know we do it all the time. Somebody files a motion in circuit court to change their name. You can do that legally. But that doesn't really change who you are. And if Jesus is going to be at home in my heart, then he needs to be made a member of the family. Not only that, but if Jesus is going to be at home in my heart, he must be drawn into every conversation and must be made to feel that everybody in that house likes to listen to him and is willing to take his advice. Now listen. Help me on this for a minute. Think with me for just a moment. Can you imagine living in a home, a house, where nobody ever spoke to you? Sociologists tell us, and those in the medical field, in the psychiatric field of child psychology, tell us that the worst thing you can do to a child is ignore that child. Oh, I'm not talking about physical abuse. I'm not talking about that. No. But to ignore a child, you don't have to tell that child they're not loved. All you have to do is ignore them, and they will get the point. Because they'll perish from a lack of attention. And I am aware of the fact, in fact, F. Ligard Smith was one of our great preachers from a generation ago. He used to tell the story, he wore a beard. And I mean a great big turn of the 19th century Civil War type beard. And he said he went into a house and the husband and wife were just trying to be so sweet. And they said, one of them said, "Would you like some meat, old prince, so sweet?" And everybody kind of giggled. And then the wife, they'd given him some coffee and said, "Would you like some cream, old Prince Supreme?" And they just thought that was kind of funny. And until the little boy said, "Well, would you like some sugar, you hairy booger?" Well, we all want to be made to feel at home, but let's don't go that far. And children do say some of the strangest things, but it is a marvelous compliment when within that family unit, a guest can come in that home and even the children make them feel at home. Somebody said, "All right, Bradley, what's the point? Where are you going? Hear me. We've got to make Jesus so comfortable that he would want to be a part of any conversation that was going on in the family. Now you let that soak in for a moment. That Jesus would want to be, because we've invited him to be a part of any conversation that's going on in the family. That's Jesus being comfortable enough and our being comfortable enough to have him in our heart. Now, I want you to look at an illustration of this. If you have your Bibles, look at the 10th chapter of the book of Luke. And it's an absolute beautiful story, and many of you know it because it involves Mary. And look down at Luke chapter 10, about verse 38. And it came to pass, as they went, they entered to a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. There you are. Jesus at home in the heart. Okay, he's in the house. And notice this. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Don't let that slip by. That needs to be true of everybody in this room, is that we're paying attention to what the Lord says. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me. You get the picture. Martha's upset. I'm doing all the work. Mary's not. Lord, please say something to her. And I absolutely love the response that Jesus gives in verse 41. The scripture doesn't give us any hint as to his tone of voice, but by the ear of faith, I can just kind of hear him saying, Martha, Martha. I used to have a secretary at the Hoover Church, and I used to quote this verse to her all the time. I just say, Martha, 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 Martha. And notice what he says. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Here it is. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see the picture. He felt at home, at the home of Martha and Mary. And in spite of the fact that Martha thinks Mary is getting away. Well, no. Jesus comes in and he settles it honestly. Martha, Martha. She's doing that. Later on, you're going to see at the upper room, or later rather, when she anoints him with oil. And the disciples are indignant. And they say, this could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And you remember what Jesus said. She's done what she could. And so if Jesus is going to be at home in our heart, he's going to see some of this conflict. And yet he's going to step in kindly and settle it and help everybody in the family see what is most important. Now then, let's get to where we've been going all day long. This morning and thus far tonight, this is where I've been going. This is it. Bottom line, heart of the message. Don't miss this if you miss everything else. Are you ready? If Jesus is going to be at home in my heart, he as a gracious guest must be recognized as the divine host. You see the difference? You see how it shifts? We invite him in as a guest. But ultimately, he has to be seen as the host. He has to be seen as the one in charge. And the picture that's so clear and that we've referenced numerous times, even this morning, is Revelation 3 and verse 20. And I mentioned this morning, Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now watch it. If any man will open the door, I will come in. Why? He's a guest. I'll come in as a guest. But I'll sup with him and he with me. Now then, he's not only just a guest, he's a host. He assumes a higher role. He assumes a greater position. And it's a picture of friendship and fellowship and followship. that Jesus calls upon all of us. Now hear me tonight. It's real easy on our part to think in terms of inviting Him as a guest. As a guest, He has been invited. But then that role is going to change. And far too many people in this world have the view, okay, I'm willing to invite the Lord into my heart, but I don't want Him telling me what to do. I don't want Him telling me how to run my life. I don't want Him telling me how to run my marriage. I don't want Him telling me how to raise my kids. I don't want Him telling me how to do my business at my workplace. I don't want Him telling me how to behave at school. Now, see, folks, either Jesus is Lord of our life or is nothing. And that's why I want you to leave this building tonight as we start another week that God has given us. And I want you to start this week with Jesus being Lord and Master of your life. That means He has authority. In fact, He said that not long before He ascended back to the Father. Do you remember? When He said in Matthew 28, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore." Aha. Again, there's that word therefore. Here comes a conclusion based on what I just said. Because all authority hath given to me in heaven and on earth, now then you go. You see, the host is telling us. He comes in as a guest, but then He becomes the host. And the host is telling us what to do. And He says, as you go, when you go, where you go, take the gospel with you. And how I wish we could allow the Great Commission to permeate the very fiber of our being, such that we would see more to the Great Commission than just inviting people to church. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. Inviting people to church is important. I hope you spend this week inviting people to be a part of our worship. Inviting people to be a part of our Bible study. Inviting people to be a part of our fellowship. I don't want to discount that for a moment. But if you think that inviting people to church is fulfilling the Great Commission, with all due respect, you're very much mistaken. It's so much more than that. Because in His imperative, in His command, He says, go. Inviting people to church seems to be somewhat passive. It's people we happen to run into. It's people we happen to see at work. It's people we happen to see. No, no. The imperative command, go, means you initiate something. You initiate a conversation with somebody at work. You initiate a conversation in the community. You initiate a conversation at school. Paul's going to write later to the folks at Galatia, as ye therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men. Dear folk, how I wish we could see the necessity, not just the need, but the necessity of creating opportunities. Opening, what does Paul say? Open your eyes. The fields are white unto harvest. And if you and I will do that this week, there are people that you know that I do not know. There are people that I know that you do not know. And if you and I will open our eyes to the needs of men and women and boys and girls, people that are hurting. What did Brother JT say this morning? Wasn't that powerful? Wasn't that powerful, Bobby? Here's somebody in his life that's hurting. And JT wants to help. And JT wanted us to pray for him. And to open. We used to sing a song in our songbooks years ago called "Lead Me to Some Soul Today." Y'all remember that? Did y'all ever sing that song down here? "Lead Me to Some Soul Today." You really believe that? You really want, what would Honduras look like, Walter, if the folks down there got on fire and said, Lord, lead us too. I got a feeling there's some down there that are doing that very thing, aren't they? Why do we have to go to Honduras to do it? Open your eyes, Paul said. The fields are white unto harvest. And there are people in your life and in my life that are open. And while we're praying that prayer and singing that song, we need to sing another song, and that is, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Yeah, it's okay to call one of the elders or one of the deacons or one of the teachers or one of the ministers, but Lord, send me. Because I say again, there are people in your life that you can reach that I can't reach. There are people in my life that I can reach that you can't reach. And if Jesus is going to be at home in my heart, then I'm going to have to wake up to this. I'm going to have to be alert to the fact that Jesus says, yes, I'm a guest because I stand at the door and knock, but I'm a host because I say, now you go. Imagine somebody coming to your house as a guest and then telling you, get out. That's kind of what Jesus did. But not give, oh no, he's just saying, now then you go out. You be out. And as you do so, you be conversational about the gospel. So let me ask you a question. I'm aware of the fact that in our human relationships, there are people with whom we'd just rather not speak to. Let's be honest. There are people in your life and mine, I'd just rather not have to talk to them. What would it take for that to be true of Jesus? That I'd just soon not talk to him. I'd just soon not talk to the Lord God. I'd just as soon not have the communion of the Holy Spirit. Would it be because they had left us? Or chances are, would it be that we had left them? Are you as close to God as you used to be? You can be. You don't have to drift. You don't have to keep pushing away from God and pushing away from God's brethren and God's church. You decide. What would it take for you to obey? What would it take for Jesus to be at home in your heart? Maybe it would take you obeying the gospel. And that's why nothing would thrill us any more than to baptize you into Christ tonight. And maybe you've done that and you're struggling and you're hurting. And just like Brother JT said this morning, I just need strength. I need encouragement. So that I, in turn, can help somebody else. And if that's your need, we invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing, Madeline.